Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brusten-Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
Packers win 27-13, and that makes it sound better than what it was for the Detroit Lions. Kyle Brusten-Northman across ESPN Wisconsin with you, KBN Nation. Been taking your calls and texts on the Carbless Talk and text line 800-990-3776. Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, trophy running the show. Now, this was not on my bingo board. Colby Wooden audio on Monday at 3 o'clock. But I love it because I love competition and I love competitors. The Packers traded Kenny Clark along with those two first-round picks to acquire Micah Parsons. The conversation immediately went to the run defense.
Yeah.
Are they going to be able to stop Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery? Well, guess
tall
what?
Task.
We have the answer to that question, but I like to know where the motivation comes from. Here's Colby Wooden post-game at his locker.
Yeah.
How personal did you take that going against a team like this you know wants to run it at you?
Oh, I for sure took that personal. Yeah. Like, I'll tell you, like, my dad called me on, he called me Thursday. Do me a favor. Shut him up. Hey, bet. So, you know, I just did my job, went out there, stopped the run. I took it personal, honestly. I felt like, you know, it was kind of disrespectful, like, oh, they're going to run the ball. So I made it my mission to, you know, we made it our mission to stop the run.
Not I. We made it the mission to stop the run. And I wanted to shut everyone up. Yeah. Shut everyone up. That's Colby Wooden. That's Colby Wooden.
No, and that's what I like, because here's the thing is that a lot of people will hear people talking and a lot of times people might get down. I like the fact that Colby Wooden's dad was hearing all the talk. His dad listens to sports talk radio. He hears people like us talking about Kenny Clark being gone. People across the country talking about, well, they got Michael Parsons, but they're missing out on Kenny Clark. And you had to hear Jerry Jones talk about we need to get a guy that can stop the run. So everybody thought that there was going to be a void in the middle of the Green Bay Packers defense. Everybody was concerned about, well, who's going to be the next to step up? And Colby Wooden, he took that personal, and he stepped up and he played phenomenally yesterday. I mean, he was absolutely a difference maker. How much we're talking about how well Micah Parsons played, which Micah Parsons played fantastic. Colby Wooden had a career high, two tackles for a loss and a quarterback hurry. That guy in his second career start as an NFL player showed out and made us all feel good about the fact that Kenny Clark is gone. We love Kenny Clark, but Colby Wooden stepped up and showed out. And to be honest, I don't think Kenny Clark last year, who was playing through injury, had a game like we saw from Colby yesterday, all season last year.
No, I mean, maybe. I think that's a little bit – I get your overall point. He wasn't as impactful as a guy that you would like to have seen get a third contract.
Probably a little pommy.
Yeah, a little prisoner of the moment.
Find a game, Stroh.
But I get the overall point. Let's go to Kent in Oconomowoc. Kent, you're up on the Carbless Talk and Tech – Oak Creek, but you can see why I went Oconomowoc, right?
I did write OC, but I would write Ocon for Oconomowoc, OC for Oak Creek. I should have put periods.
That's on you.
Pat on the back to Stroh. Kent, you're up on the Carbless Talk and Text line. What did you see and what do you want?
The thing I want, Micah Parsons is, in my opinion, as advertised, he is going to make everybody around him better. The only concern I had about the game yesterday were a couple throws that Goff made that our corners weren't 10 yards from the receiver, and there's a free agent that's out there that hasn't signed yet, Asante Samuel. What is your opinion? Would he be a good fit on our team, and would he help us get to that Super Bowl? I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Now, Ken, I appreciate the question about wanting to continue to make the team better if you're going to really think you're going to make a Super Bowl run. But I think when you asked the question about, like, or made the statement, rather, about Goff making some passes and the cornerbacks being kind of far off, they were able to.
Yeah.
They didn't need to press up and get over-leveraged and get beat over the top when they had the pressure that the defense had. They played this game perfectly. They did not need to get too close. They did not need, I mean, in spot, sure, like, yeah, you want to make sure on a third down, like, you're not 10 yards back, but I think we're splitting hairs. I understand wanting to elevate the cornerback room.
But yesterday, I'm not going to use that as an example as to why they need to elevate it.
Yeah, no, what we have to understand in football, there's literally a play designed with the offensive passing play to beat a cornerback, and you're not going to be perfect on every play. And yesterday, we didn't see a lot of big pop plays out of the Detroit Lions. The Packers kept everything, I mean everything, in front of them. There weren't a lot of explosive plays that they gave up yesterday, which is a good sign. So as Packers fans, he completed 31 passes, and he only had 225 yards, had an interception, got sacked four times. That was a good day for us. So I have nothing negative to say about our defensive backs. Don't be concerned about guys catching 10-yard passes when they couldn't finish drives.
800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and text line if you want to get into the show. Now, I want to ask Jason Wilde about this, and he's coming up around 3:15, but I want to have a brief conversation because the only real couple things I'm seeing is when you look at not things to be concerned about, things to continue to look at for the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, Zach Tom was injured when Aiden Hutchinson pushed Jordan Love and fell into him.
It's crazy. He just fell and hit the ground, just hurt his hip.
Yeah, it didn't look like that crazy, but they're big fellas. Hitting the ground when you're least expecting it probably isn't that great. Now, with Zach Tom comes the aforementioned Jordan Love. There was a throw, and I don't want to stay here because I thought he rebounded really well after the throw that he overthrew from Tucker Kraft. It was the first drive for them in the regular season. He then answered with great throws over the middle, over the middle, over the middle, scoring a touchdown with that dart and pill sling, as Josh DiMaggio would say, to Tucker Kraft. But back-to-back throws, like, it's just one of those things where I'm not losing confidence in Jordan Love. I just wish that, like, in a game where you dominated every level and every facet, there wasn't the, you know, he did the thing, you know? Let me ask you a question. Did he do the thing?
I mean, this is what we have to just be okay with, is the fact that Jordan Love is going to have moments, right? Every quarterback, every player, you know, a dropped interception happens in football. Packers fans, we see it all the time.
The decision-making leading to the drop.
Listen.
Where you don't typically have a floating pass.
He is who we know him to be.
Yeah, but there's Jordan still time for growth, which is why I think you can address it.
No, it's time for growth, and it should be addressed. And you can tell that Jordan Love, even after when the linebacker Anzalone almost got the interception, Jordan Love was like, oh, after that play.
Yeah, but then he came back the next throw and almost got intercepted.
He got an interception the next play. And so, again, he's mindful and he's conscious of it. He knows he needs to clean that up. But Jordan Love is going to throw the football 400 times, 450 times this year, and he's going to have probably 50 whoopsies, and some of those whoopsies are going to get, you know, dropped by the other team or going to be errant throws, but he's going to have some of those moments, and we just have to understand Jordan Love is not Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was precise, and he made great decisions. He's more a little bit of Favre when it comes to some of the reckless decisions. Favre different with reckless, just heaving it up sometimes, but he's going to make some of those decisions that he's going to want back. That happens. I'll take the bad with the outstanding that we get from Jordan Love. And yesterday's first half performance was outstanding from Jordan Love.
Absolutely. And again, a big credit needs to be given to that offensive line in that first drive.
Oh, man. I mean, this was Goody's day yesterday.
Did anyone see Aiden Hutchinson?
I forgot he played out there, huh? 97. Right?
I didn't hear his name at all.
Slowed down.
I wasn't trying to be mean. I'm just trying to
be
honest.
The Packers offensive line slowed him down, and so that's, again, credit to Goody.
Guy had 7.5 sacks in what, like 5 games last year?
The Packers offensive line was fantastic yesterday.
Love that all day.
All the moves that Goody made, you know, other than Nate Hobbs that we didn't see, but the big moves, you got the 3 major moves that he made, and they worked out. Even moving Jenkins in the center worked out well yesterday. This football team was able to protect Jordan Love. They got the ball rolling on the ground after that. There's nothing negative that can come from this. Yes, Jordan Love should probably clean up some decision-making, but I just think at the end of the day, Jordan Love is just going to be that guy where he's going to have a couple games where he makes some poor decisions. It is what it is. I think his talent outweighs those poor decisions.
Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Alex Strofe, UKBN Nation, reacting to the thumping of the Lions, beating the quality... Thumping of the Lions.
Thumping.
Same thing.
Tomato, tomato.
Doesn't thumping work?
I don't think thumping's a word.
Then it doesn't work.
Is thumping a word? We need a...
Thumping is not a word. You're looking for thumping.
Yeah.
Stomping, maybe?
Yeah, when I write thumping into this computer, thomping, it says thumping. It just autocorrects me to thumping. There is no such thing as thumping.
That's correct.
Thump is not a standard English word and is likely a misspelling of thump, which means to strike with heavy, dull blow or to make heavy, dull sound. Yeah.
You know, I often wonder to myself, I don't catch every one of those he does.
Got to slip one or two by you each show.
That's what I'm saying.
When you're on the phone, I'm probably saying words wrong, and you just don't have the opportunity.
I just ignore it. I let him be him because, you know, I say some words wrong, so I just let it be.
And at the same time, I think when I say thumping, I think people know I mean thumping.
Can you say thumping to Jason and see if he catches it?
Yeah, you should. It was
Jason, the Green Bay Packers thumped the Detroit Lions.
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be good. Jason says say thumped.
Yeah, you
got to
do that.
We got to do it.
He's too smart.
Jason Wilde joins us next on Kyle Bruston-Ortman.
This is Kyle Bruston-Ortman.
I'm going to quote the great Martin Luther King in this.
Wow.
I'm going to bring up MLK. You know what he said?
Oh, wow.
He said, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. And you know what matters to me? Booing Craig Council and booing the Chicago Cubs.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
There's a little groupthink going on there. I'm not going to disagree.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
He is a good general manager. Anybody who disputes that, they have other issues.
Holding everybody accountable.
I'm not sure that was good enough for us to even play on our show.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Bruston-Ortman.
Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, no Brad Nortman. Big congrats to Brad for having a healthy baby and Lexi doing great. So always love to give a shout out to our guy Brad. Joining us now on Kyle Bruston-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin is Jason Wilde. Listen to Jason on Wilde and Tausch 9 to noon across these various stations. Jason, what is going on?
Boy or girl?
Baby boy. Future punter.
Did Brad and Lexi name him Kyle Benjamin Nortman?
Actually, it was Kyle Benjamin Nortman. Yeah.
KBN. Both of you. Thanks for explaining that to me, Ben. I appreciate that.
Jason, what did you think of the thumping that the Packers gave the Lions?
Thumping. Is that a word?
I'm glad. Yeah, I said that, and I was like, I think I'm in thumping, and they were like, you got to say that to Jason. See if he lets it go or not.
Thank you, Jason.
They know me well. There was a thumping. It was a whomping. It was a thumping. Look, it was really impressive. I'm not sure what to make. It's only one game, but I'm not sure what to make of the Lions and how quickly they will figure out how to be productive offensively without Ben Johnson. I mean, I think people, you know, look, first of all, they had a rookie starting at one guard. I think they had another first year starter starting at the other guard. And then they had the guy that was at center had been a guard. And so,
couldn't we say the same about the Packers in a way?
No, they started their starting five. I mean, they obviously
You brought in, and I know Aaron Banks, you paid for him, but you had Aaron Banks for the first time. They moved Elton Jenkins to center.
Aaron Banks, they paid Aaron Banks a $77 million contract. That's not the same as doing what the Lions did. Again, I'm not making excuses for him. I'm just trying to explain, you know, you combine that with the Packers lining up Micah Parsons for the first time and the jolt of energy going through that building. I mean, they got cooked on their offensive line. They did. And the Packers deserve credit for that, but I think it's, you know, it wouldn't have been quite as bad. If they had Frank Ragnow at center, I'm guessing it's not as bad. Guy's a multi-time All-Pro. So, again, I'm not here to make excuses for the Lions, but the Lions last year were the number one scoring team in the league. They were the number two total offense team in the league. And before that garbage 60-yard touchdown drive, although the catch was certainly not garbage, by Tesla. How do we say his name? It's not Tesla.
Nicole.
I'm
just kidding.
Tesla?
I don't know.
Strofe, you're the pronunciation guy.
Tesla.
Yeah, he's a professional. Tesla. Like coleslaw. Before that, those dudes had 6 points. Six points. So, you know, that offense was bad. And Jared Goff, who I don't think is a terrible quarterback, but is not. I think he's a good quarterback who gets harshly criticized, but I think he's a guy that if you get him out of rhythm, he's in trouble. And that's exactly what the Packers did a great job of. Their two running backs, who are both really good players, were non-factors. The Packers deserve a ton of credit for all those things. Are they going to be able to figure out, with largely the same skill position pieces, are they going to figure out a way to look more like the team they were last year with a different coordinator? Because John Morton is no Ben Johnson, it would appear. Or is this kind of a harbinger of things to come for what the Lions are going to look like this year? I don't know the answer to that. I just know that they were not very good yesterday.
Jason, so which one are you leaning towards? Because that's what a lot of people have been talking about. That's the headline, right? The offensive coordinator position.
Both, not having... Right? Oh, you guys know that about me, though. But, like, I don't ever lean one way. They're both factors.
But which one?
Are you taking credit away from the Packers? I'm with Jason today because I literally had said we had one caller asking about the effect of the coordinator and one caller saying the coordinator doesn't matter. It's still the same players.
They both played a factor, but I want to know, do you believe the Packers defense was for real based off the performance yesterday, or do you put more on the fact
I thought they were a good defense before they played yesterday, and then I saw Micah Parsons. And the impact that he had, the sack that he has in the fourth quarter is awesome, right? It's great that he got his first sack. But look at all the ways that he influenced, and this is what we talked about when they got him. Is this going to make Lucas Van Ness better? One game so far? Yeah. Is this going to make Rashawn Gary better? One game? 1.5 sacks? Yeah. There was a play where Colby Wooden threw one of the two backs. I can't remember if it was Montgomery or Gibbs. But they had been backed up. They'd had that 7-yard loss. They're on the 1-yard line, and they try to run it. And Wooden, like, just destroys the running back. I don't know how he got out of the end zone to avoid the safety. But if you look at it again, there's two blockers that go to Micah Parsons and no blockers that go to Colby Wooden. Like, all of that matters. And he only played 29 of the 65 snaps, so less than half. So what is he going to do now, you know, if he plays, let's say they have 66 snaps of defense against the Commanders and he plays 33. Right, that's a 4-snap increase, but he's at 50% then. It'll be really interesting to see. And then the following week, how much is he going to play? I think, they got Cincinnati the next week. I can't remember what. Yeah, I take one game at a time, you know. And then they've got his
nice
former team, the Cowboys.
Jason, so I do want to give credit as well, because, I mean, Penei Sewell's no joke. But I want to ask you about,
correct,
like, it's very easy to get we've basically done the entire show asking people what they're most excited about, right? There's a lot of optimism, as there should be, because with a performance, but like that, I mean, it deserves praise. There is a couple of outliers that, you know, it's the Jordan Love accuracy. It is the Zach Tom got injured. I want to stick to the Jordan Love thing, because it almost feels like in a dominating game like that, if he just didn't do the thing that he did, like he keeps doing the thing. When I say the thing, like the pass that makes you go, ugh. You know, like the decision-making pass. Is this just part of who he is? Because if so, like, it's okay, because there are a lot of other good things that come with it. Or do you think that's something that he's going to get rid of, because it just seems to be something we keep seeing?
Well, so I thought he was extremely accurate for most of the game.
Agree.
Like, I thought he had some magnificent throws. And the fact that the first 4 third downs, which turned out to be the only third downs they converted, by the way. I mean, he made
2 play drives. We'll do
throws.
That.
Well, but then the rest of the game, they didn't convert another one, right? Like, I think they finished 4 for 10. So they went for their final 6 without converting a third down. My point is that each of those 4, he made some big boy throws. He had the one to Golden. He had one to Reed. He had one to Wicks. And I think maybe the other one was to Dobbs for like 20-some yards, maybe. But bottom line, he was 4 for 4 on his first 4 third downs, and he got the first down on all of them. He made really good throws. The fourth one was the Tucker Kraft touchdown, the 20-yard catch that that Rome had was on a second down play earlier in the first drive. My point is that he made some big-time throws. He also made two throws, one that was intercepted, returned for a touchdown that wouldn't have been a touchdown, even had the holding penalty on the defense not been called, the cheap shot that Aiden Hutchinson put on Love.
Only shot he got all
on the
day.
Return, that would have wiped it out, so it wouldn't have been a touchdown. But my point is that, I mean, first of all, that was the only time I noticed Aiden Hutchinson yesterday. I don't know about anybody else.
We literally just talked about that.
He was basically the opposite of what Micah Parsons was. But, you know, before that interception, the throw before it, I have no idea, and I didn't ask Love in the press conference, but I'm going to ask him when I see him tomorrow. I just want to know what he was doing. Like, it almost looked like a no-look pass to Tucker Kraft, and he threw it right to Anzalone, and then Anzalone dropped it. Do you remember the play that I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It was
yeah.
the play right before the pick.
Interception.
And I'm like, what is he doing? So, look, he does have those. But, look, every quarterback, like even, you know, even Josh Allen had a couple of those throws last night where you're like, ooh, I don't know if I would have forced it in there. But because he's Josh Allen and he's done what he's done, we give him a little more grace than we give Love. So I think Love's going to have more of those throws this season. But I think the good news is if their defense is as good as we think it could be, it's going to be like back in 1996 when Reggie and Leroy Butler would tell Favre, hey, man, you play your game. If you throw a pick, Holmgren's going to chew your ass out, but we got you. And we're going to get the ball back for you. And as we all know, they did that a lot for him.
Jason, I also want to touch on the fact that Colby – oh, never mind. I forgot. Strofe, you're right. You got to get out of here, Jason. Is this Rich Bisaccia? Is he going to yell at you again?
No, it's something different. But quick, ask your question. Go ahead.
No. Jason, your time is more important than my stupid question.
No, what is it? What's your question?
Well, Jason, I definitely have
time off.
No, you don't have any. Kyle, no, you're out. But Brust wanted to start a question.
I just thought it was fascinating that Micah Parsons post game was talking about each and every single guy and how he wants to see LVN eat, Rashawn Gary eat. Is he, do you think, going to emerge as like a vocal leader as well? Because I've loved everything I've heard from him.
Yeah, let's give him credit for being smart enough to know what sounds good. Okay? He's in a new place. He wants to make a good impression. I think he's been great so far, both on the field and off. But I think we do have to be a little bit cautious. I mean, if you talk to people in Dallas, there were some people who didn't think he was great in their locker room. So he's got a new lease on life. I think he was genuinely emotional, and it meant a lot to him yesterday to be announced last. LaFleur called him on Saturday and said, hey, we're going to announce the defense. We're going to announce you last. We want you to feel the embrace of this fan base, and he definitely felt it. And hopefully a new place, you know, a fresh start is really good for him. But he talked about how emotionally draining it was and how awful it was for him in Dallas, because again, I think it's important to give him the benefit of the doubt on this. He said all along he never wanted to play anywhere else, so that did not play out the way he intended it, and so now he's trying to adjust.
Well, Jason, we appreciate the time, and thank you for giving me that quick answer.
You got it, guys. All right, take care. Be good.
That's Jason Willey. Listen to Jason on Willey and Tausch, 9 to noon across these various stations, and of course, like we are on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. I'm telling you. Yesterday was amazing because it was Friday in Madison, UW Hall of Fame for Frank Kaminsky. Saturday, a wedding, cool. Watching a little bit of the Badger football game. And then I was like, I'm out. But then on Sunday, didn't want to cook, didn't want to clean. So we did Palermo's and specifically the Screaming Sicilian and, of course, the Cheez-It pizza because it's a legendary snack cracker that I loved before I was eating Palermo's. And it's now available in frozen pizza. Each crust is a giant, original Cheez-It flavored cracker crust that's square shape, ultra thin, super crispy. And I love this line because it's so true. It's legitimately true. The perfect amount of Cheez-It flavor. It's not an overwhelming Cheez-It flavor. It's not just like a cookie cutter crust. It is your combination of Palermo's great quality with Cheez-It added to that crust. You have Cheddar Jack Supreme, pepperoni, Italian four cheese, and it's an 8-minute bake time. Boom, bang, bop. It's in and it's out, and you're eating delicious pizza. So find Cheez-It frozen pizza in your favorite grocer's frozen pizza section. Who will benefit the most from Micah Parsons all year long? I want you to pick one specific player on that defense. Who will benefit the most? 800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, and Strophy with you on the other side next.
This is Kyle Brust and Nortman.
We were going to extend more invites, but I just jumped the gun for some reason at the meeting because I thought I was being like funny and personable, and I just don't know how to read the room. I was like, oh, this guy who doesn't know me is going to think it's hilarious that I'm with Josh and I'm saying, hey, Josh, you didn't get the first round invite. Suck it.
How in what world would that person find that funny, though?
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
But that don't change the score. Packers win 27-13.
Wasn't that close at all. Late touchdown from the Lions to make themselves feel better in point differential, maybe.
Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, no Brad Nortman. Congratulations to Brad and his family on welcoming in a baby boy. Boom, 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 boom. Alex Strofe's running the show, UKB Nation at 800-990-3776. And I want to know, because we've obviously talked a lot about Micah and the impact he had in
Micah.
29 snaps out of potential, was it 56? Less than half? What was it? Jason just said it, and you guys, you're looking down, and you're not paying attention to me. What was it, 29 of 56? Oh,
60,
God.
60, I think it was.
I've lost.
I think it was
I've
65. I think you flipped them.
Yeah, because I was like, he said he played less than half. I was like, 29 plus 29 is 58.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
number.
Yeah. No, he played 27 snaps because he said four
no,
more than
30. He played 29
God
snaps.
Bless it.
Oh, he really played 30 because one was a penalty, yeah. But anyway. No. 29 snaps of 65, I believe.
Thank you, everybody. I'm so glad we're back.
What the hell was that by him?
I don't know.
He got the number you just said eight times wrong.
Completely out of this world. Just tell us what you were doing.
Yeah, well, I'm getting ready to respond.
All right. Because that 800-990-3776, I want to know what player is going to benefit the most this entire
year.
Ben,
real quick. Do you think that's actually what he was doing?
Micah Parsons. God only knows.
What do you mean? I got the stuff right in front of me because I got to get
the pick. Do you read a script?
No, I don't read a script. I get numbers and I get stats to support my argument of what I'm trying to say. Because KB
What's written
Nation,
on that paper?
What are you talking?
Give it to Ben. Ben?
Okay.
Ben, read it verbatim. Go.
What?
All right. Cloud 9. Parsons, first place. Fans are vindicated. Goody was... Man, you got bad handwriting.
I can read it.
Free double team, chip blocks, bull rushing pressures when he had over 330 of them. Oh, and a sack. Super Bowl. Parsons, Watson... Yo, these are your only notes for the show?
I got notes in my phone, too. As well, you want to read my phone and my notes as well?
Not anymore after how bad those notes were. What Green Bay Packer will benefit the most from Micah?
That was a
in
bad
that chicken scratch.
What a bad play
That's
by
supposed
you.
To be your script?
What? There is no script. There's notes. And what a bad play by you all to do terrible radio for KBN Nation. Let me fix this for you, KBN Nation.
Fix it.
So the fixing is this. Who is going to benefit most? This is an easy answer, fellas. We talked about the fact that the Green Bay Packers were missing a defensive lineman that would have pop plays. We were talking about the fact that the Packers were missing somebody that stood out. We have been talking about for the last 2 years how the Green Bay Packers did not get the production that they should have gotten out of Rashawn Gary. So it is clear after one game, the person that is going to benefit most from the impact that they're going to make is Rashawn Gary. And what I was looking up while you guys were sitting here talking about Michael Parsons snaps, it's the fact that he had 7 combined tackles yesterday, 4 assists in a sack and a half, but more importantly, we saw Rashawn Gary making big plays, making pop plays, making plays in big moments. We saw him chasing down guys. I saw him go from one side of the defensive line, run in the backfield and make a play on the other side. That is the type of guy that we were expecting from Rashawn Gary. So if we can get this production, it doesn't have to be this every single week. But if we can get production like this where Rashawn Gary beats his one-on-one matchup that he has in front of him, Rashawn Gary in the backfield, Rashawn Gary getting pressures, this football team is better. Jason Wildey just talked about it. Micah Parsons, He was getting double teamed nonstop. Kobe Wooden was in the backfield just because of the presence of Michael Parsons. Not only does that benefit Wooden, LVN, but more importantly, it benefits the next most talented guy on that defensive line, and that guy is Rashawn Gary. And like I said last week, and like a lot of people in KBN Nation and Packers Nation believe, Rashawn Gary will be the beneficiary of the fact that they have a game wrecker in Michael Parsons, and now Rashawn Gary has the chance to truly pop and not have to worry about double teams, not have to worry about guys keying in on him, because he's not the best defensive lineman, but he's a very good one, and he's the second best on a good football team and a good defense.
Yeah, I mean, the easy debate is, like, do you think LVN can be as good as you all want him to be? And can Michael Parsons unleash LVN to be as good as what a 13th overall draft pick would be in the first round of the NFL draft? Rashawn Gary has had seasons where, you know, he's had games even where he's had three sacks.
Yeah, he has. And when guys fall over.
No. Pre last year, Kyle.
I get it.
Pre last year.
I know, yeah.
So if he can do that and he has Micah Parsons, yeah, Rashawn Gary has a huge opportunity. In a weird way, I almost love the fact that they have these two linebackers with speed, because although when you think about Micah Parsons, you do think about pass pro. Or not pass pro, like rushing the passer and the offensive line being in pass pro all the time. But, like, if Micah is immediately getting two guys to him, and you, like, we've seen Halfley be creative with sending pressure at times, mixing up who goes and who doesn't go. If Micah gets that much attention and you get the same output from the defensive tackles that you did, Edgerrin Cooper had 12 tackles because no one could get to him because they had to battle the trenches, and he was a free runner as one of the best defensive players the Packers had in limited games last year. I actually think in a weird way, Cooper might even benefit the most from Micah Parsons, as crazy as that connection may sound.
Because a lot of times, where Jason talked about, even a lot of times, either you chip the defensive end there using a running back or using a tight end, or sometimes you double team with a guard. Guards a lot of times get to the second level. Centers get to the second level, right? If the focus is trying to get Parsons, whether he's lined up inside or outside, and you're just thinking about him, then that means that you can't put your focus on a Gary. You can't put your focus on a Cooper. You can't put your focus on a Quay Walker that can fly around. Not as good as Cooper that we already know. But you're absolutely right. Edgerrin Cooper is going to be another person that benefits from them, because if he did not have Michael Parsons on this defense, by the end of this season, he was going to be the best in-the-box player for the Green Bay Packers. Edgerrin Cooper was going to be that. We saw that. But now, you can't just focus on him. You have to key in on other people. It's called pick your poison. And now teams have to pick their poison. Do you just say, hey, you're going to be on the island against Rashawn Gary? Hey, if running back, if you see Edgerrin Cooper come in, that's going to be – that is what they have to do. They have to pick their poison. And every single time, you got to pick Michael Parsons, because one-on-one, Michael Parsons is going to destroy every single tackle in football.
Even against an all-pro
every yesterday. Single time. If Michael Parsons played 40 or 50 snaps yesterday against Sewell would have been wiped out at the end of the game. He would have said, please. Remember that, what you were talking about? I think we talked about maybe LeBron James when he saw Kawhi Leonard come on the court and he looked on. Maybe it wasn't you who I was talking to.
I have no idea. So in the NBA
Finals, when the Spurs took on the Heat and LeBron James was on the free throw line, he looked to the sideline. He saw Kawhi coming off the bench to come in, and he said, dang. That's the feeling that guys are going to feel anytime they see Michael Parsons coming. Like, dang, I gotta go up against Micah. Now he's running on the field. Now here we go. And so that is what you want. You want somebody that dominant that can impact people mentally before the physical part even starts.
Mervin.
Sound it out now.
Mervin.
How do you spell it?
It's Mervin. Mervyn.
You think that's Mervin?
Mervin. Seriously? Strofe, just tell me it. Strofe. What's his damn name? I'm on cloud 9 without a doubt. This was a great game in all facets. Question for KBN Nation. Why do people expect Jordan Love to be perfect? Bad throws and interceptions are part of the game of football. Even the mighty Aaron Rodgers threw 7 to 10, 12 picks a year. Every other QB that has greater than 2 to 1 interception TD ratio is lauded. Help me understand why Love is held to higher expectations.
It's a really, it's a really good point by Mervin. I totally agree. I talked
about
this.
He said lauded. You ain't going to let him go. Lauded?
Lauded. Lauded.
You said lauded.
Same thing.
It's a really good point by Mervin.
I hate you both right now. It's 77 degrees in the studio. I'm starting to sweat.
I didn't do anything but just sit here.
And let's keep in mind. He said, let's keep in mind. He's the one that called you ornery earlier in the show. Let's keep that one in mind.
I'm starting to sweat through every pore in my body
so
in this
sweaty.
Place.
I feel
so
good.
Warm.
I need to be in the sun. I'm trying to get all this fat off.
But just real quick, I'd love, because I think a lot of people on the internet were saying he didn't play well. He had a couple throws, of course,
thought,
that he'd want
I
back.
Thought he played well.
I thought he played a really good game
they
yesterday.
They didn't watch the game. In the first half, specifically, he was magnificent.
And then if we're not going to lie, it did get a little conservative in the third quarter until Matt LaFleur finally opened it up a little bit.
Extremely conservative. It was on Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur wasn't trying to put the pedal to the metal, trying to throttle down on him. He was trying to protect the victory. That's what it was. Thank goodness he went for it on fourth down, because then we were able to get in the end zone. He wasn't trying to settle for three. He was trying to end this football game. And
yeah,
thank goodness
I was actually I was proud.
Me too.
I'm not going to lie. I was proud of Matt LaFleur.
Set the tone, because this football team responded the exact way I would hope Matt LaFleur as a football coach would expect. Fellas, we had a whole offseason where we couldn't beat a good football team. We know what it was, right? And when they had their opportunity week one out the gate against a team that won 15 games last year, a team that swept them last year, a team that's won 3 or 4 games against Jordan Love as a quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, the Packers came out there and they performed very well. They started fast, got up early, and they didn't let off defensively. Offensively, they let up a little bit, but they were able to finish. He should be extremely pleased with the performance of his football team and how they reacted, and I expect them to go for more fourth downs like that. Bumps kicking the field goal on fourth and one. Go ahead and sneak it. Go ahead and run it. Keep the chains moving and get in an end zone.
We have a call on Love Standards that I want to get to on the other side, because I love the conversation, because I do think it's a valid point. It's hard to follow two legends, especially one that was so protective of the football. But at times it was to their own detriment. As again,
what are we doing here?
Where did
at
you
times
go
to it was detrimental to the team?
There you go. Detriment, you said. What? How many? This is. Are you doing this on purpose? This is.
It's hot in here.
This is a bit.
It's 78 in here.
This has got to be a bit. No, I know it's hot in here, but
it's 78. I'm dying.
You're dying. You can't speak.
Yeah, let's get the callers lined up, Strofe, like you're doing right now, so I can go get some water. Next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
800-990-3776. Say that again.
What a radio pro.
He's so.
Say that again.
nobody
said a word.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
If you're looking to have a strong body, a strong mind, and help provide a strong community, well, you have the opportunity when you work out of the Princeton Club. With Madison locations and a location in New Berlin, they have free childcare, locally owned, and open 24/7. No goal is too small, so just get a tour, go see all the great things that they have at the club, and you will join for your better tomorrow. I'm Ben Brust. Got over my hot flashes. I think I'm good to go now.
What are you going through? Menopause?
Strofe let me out.
Hot flash.
He left me out to dry.
60?
He left me out to dry. I was like struggling. 78 in here at the first. You know when the weather changes legitimately? Like it's like the first day under 60 and they turn the heat on?
No, first day. This is your first day over 60 in age-wise. The way you acting like a person, a woman who's going through her time.
I know.
Having hot flash. What are you, my mama?
I know a retirement home if you need it.
For real.
Brother, I was just on Saturday, I hung out. My mom's 40th class reunion was on Saturday. She's 58 years old.
I would fit right in.
I went to lunch with the committee that planned the class reunion. I was with 6 58-year-old women. They had less hot flashes than you.
It's sad to know that I'm going through something who I can count
on. It's not even that hot. I got on this long turtleneck shirt
I've
here.
I've got a quarter zip and a long sleeve on. I'm fine.
And he did a whole show in here for an hour before
I consumed a lot of extracurriculars at the wedding, at the Hall of Fame induction. Maybe it's just I'm getting old and I got the 2-day sweat.
I think that's very possible.
Josh and Madison, where I was drinking it up with my friends, so I don't see very often. Cool. Josh, you're up.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So I wanted to comment on the Jordan Love comment that, you know, he's held to this higher standard. And it's not so much that he's held to this higher standard. It's what I've seen from Jordan Love over the past few years is that he has a tendency to 1 to 2 times a game throw a pass that was nearly picked or should have been picked. And prime example, against the Lions yesterday, you know, there's so many situations where the Packers are up by 10 or 2 scores, and Jordan Love is the most important person on the field because the ball is in his hands every single play. And he just will throw the team basically back into the game and allows them to get back into the game. So it's not that he can't throw 9 to 12 interceptions per year. That's going to happen. But when he throws it, it's like the perfect wrong time. And I just feel that...
So Josh, for you, it's timing. It's the timing of the bad throws that is more bothersome.
Absolutely.
Okay, I appreciate the call. Look, I get it. And I think it's week one. I do think the timing of those still would have been okay. Like, I still think they would have won the football game. It's something to watch. Like I said, I'm not overly concerned about Jordan Love's decision making. It's just something to continue to watch based off the start of 2024.
Yeah.
There was some, like, holy crap, he threw it out of the back of the end zone twice and got picked off against the Lions on
he was hurt
before
yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Viking
but
game
he
was
hurt.
A mess
again.
As
so
well.
It's just something to look at. It's not the end all be all. But I actually bumps all that. Kind of want to go back to this positivity. Or do we go to somebody who's going to pick at the Love INTs? I don't know if he is or isn't. We'll go to Cheesehead Bucky on Love INTs.
Yo, what up, Cheesehead Bucky?
What's up, my boys? Victory Monday! So my thing is we've seen Love go on these stretches. So I don't know if sometimes it's, you know, him being injury, sometimes the way that the game plays out. But he has, going back to last year, he has gone 8 games without throwing an interception.
Powerful.
So
yeah, a lot of pass attempts too.
So
regular season.
With that being said, and we saw him go on that stretch a couple years ago where everybody was 21 touchdowns, 1 interception. So, like, it's in him, but like you guys were talking about earlier, fans used to complain that Rodgers played without taking chances. So we can't have it both ways. And if we can get a nice in-between of Rodgers and Favre, I think that's the nice middle place of where we want to be. And especially with the way that this defense is looking, more chances are going to be able to be taken. And sometimes with those chances come mistakes.
So I like that you brought up the middle of Rodgers and Favre. I think Jordan Love needs to be Jordan Love. But there is data points of the, as Jason Woodley mentioned, 1996, where you do your thing and Reggie White and everyone was like, we got you. And there's also the Aaron Rodgers, who I think like held on to his touchdown interception ratio too closely.
No, he cared
about
it.
And he'd run outside the pocket, and he became the dump off, like throw out of bounds guy way too much at the end of his Green Bay Packer career. Whereas Jordan Love, I think I'm not worried about it because we've seen the stretches he's gone without throwing interceptions. And I think we may be too nitpicky because when you do look back at the data as we have, that is a lot of games in a row where he hasn't thrown an interception. And then going back to the end of 2023 when he went on that run, it was a lot of touchdowns to interceptions. So it's something to monitor, but I don't think it's as big as I'm seeing people continue to bring it up.
Yeah, I see. I love the fact that Jordan Love is very mindful about this because last season he decided that, you know what, I need to protect the football better. And that's exactly what he was able to do. I know coming into this season, that's something that is a point of emphasis for him. So, again, I have no complaints with Jordan Love, especially after the way that he played yesterday. Jordan Love is the reason why the Green Bay Packers got out to that fast start because he was accurate and he had command and control of that offense and it got us out to an early start.
Well, we are going to continue Kyle Bruston-Nortman till 5 o'clock on 94.5 ESPN and on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. In Madison, you're going to get Jim, Matt, and Molly. In Beaver Dam, you're going to get the Damn Sports Show for Ben Brust, or Ben Brust, with Ben Brust, Kyle Walls, and Alex Stroff.
Let him go.
Just let it go before I come back there and murder you.
He's going to give you a swirly. We're back.